Right. Ready, secret alias man?
We are go.
All systems are go.
Yeah.
And all form the head. Do they say that in the new Voltron? I can't remember.
What do they say?
Does he say, and all form the head when the black lion forms the head?
No, they don't.
No, why did they take that out?
I don't know.
I don't know. It would have got too repetitive, I guess.
And there's only one
just
left. Just
because it happens at every episode.
There's five slots. The other four are taken. And you're super proud that you know where to go.
Yeah.
I want to see one where they form the lion and the sword like in the first 5 minutes and cut the monster in half. And then they're just like, well, now what? And yeah. They just like sit around watching TV and playing cards.
That'd be awesome.
Well, that was
a great episode.
That was my thought for Pacific Rim. They should have just had a guy stand above the rift, and anytime one of them stuck its head out like a little gopher, you just played whack-a-mole with it, with that sword.
Why didn't they do that? Come on. Come on, Idris Elba, get it together.
Yeah, I thought you could see everything.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, here we go.
Welcome to
the Fantastic
Justice
Squad.
Super Bondo
Brother.
Friends.
The review stuff.
Hey everyone, welcome to our show, episode 17. Yay!
Woo! Yay!
What? Oh, there's a third voice in here again.
Where?
Yes.
Security.
Where? Get it? Get it? What? Let go of me.
I'm Sancho Panda, your host. With me as always is Secret Alias Man. What's your alias today?
Today my alias is Abracadabra.
Oh, you be careful with that one.
You don't want to accidentally kill your cat.
Yeah.
Or do I?
Ooh, maybe.
That's how you get on Garrick's good side.
Yes, I'm not a fan.
Someone who doesn't like cats at all with us again. Garrick, not Jay Hardy, welcome to our show.
That's me. Thanks for having me again.
Yay.
After last time, all the stuff that went down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're glad you're back. David has been bugging me since you left. Like, can Garrick come over and play again?
Oh, let's play Transformers or G.I. Joes.
Both.
Yes.
That's what you do. You play both.
G.I. Joes fighting Transformers.
Exactly. Guys, if you want to find us and see what we dressed as for Halloween, to check out what we actually look at, can ruin the illusion of how handsome we sound. you can search our Twitters. I've got a picture with my family at Sancho Panda VTW, and Garrick responded in kind.
Yeah, I got a picture of my family and our theme of not having a theme, really.
Because your daughter was Supergirl.
Yes, my wife was a witch, and I, of course, was a Jedi. From Star Wars, if you didn't know.
Well, that blows the whole "you're not a witch, you're my wife" theme out of the water.
Sometimes they're one and the same.
And my costume is posted on our official at Fanbro Friends.
That's nice. Right. What's your Twitter, Garrick?
My Twitter is Kikuchio the 7th, and if you want me to spell it, it's Kikuchiyo the 7th, number 7, TH. From the 7 Samurai. That's where I got it from. In case you were wondering.
Oh, I thought you just went Super Saiyan.
Yes, that too. Super Saiyan Samurai. Oh, why? I should have used that. Dang it. Is that taken? I'm going to see if that's taken.
Yeah.
Get that.
You can like make a whole new Twitter.
Yeah.
Have your followers to switch over just because it's that awesome.
Worth it.
Well, I have in my show notes that we're supposed to procrastinate for 5 minutes, so you have time.
Okay, hold on. So, let's see, create new account. So I got to create a new email address, too.
So Secret Alias Man, how's your cat been?
How's my cat been?
Yeah.
Well,
you're alluding to maybe wanting to kill it. I figured there was a story behind that.
But in the immortal words of Oscar Wilde, the gentleman is one who never kills his cat accidentally.
Accidentally, yeah. It's a key word.
She had an incredible time. Halloween is her season, being the color that she is.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So she did absolutely nothing.
Classic. That sounds like a
cat, character.
Really. Yeah.
That's so true. Well, we also wanted to use a couple moments just to say thank you to all our listeners, and especially those who've written new reviews for us.
Yes.
And Secret Alias Man, you had a great idea for how to address this without being too egomaniac about it.
Well, I think that an impartial outside observer who is impartial and outside and observes should read some of our comments.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
If only we knew such a person.
Yeah, if only we knew.
Carrick, this is your part.
Oh, that's me. That's why you had me on. Okay, I get it. Okay. Yes, we got some pretty fantastic reviews here. I think 6 in total. Should I read them all?
Read the last couple. I think we've read some before.
Okay, let's start with a listener who goes by the name A Crummy Commercial. This has got a question mark, so I don't know if that must be a question. Could be.
But we'll answer it after we hear what he says about us.
He says, this is the podcast you're looking for. This podcast contains plenty of nerdy banter about movies, comic books, yeah, check, and movies based on comic books. If there are any comic books based on movies, then these might get thrown into the mix at some point too. Though, that may just be silly. I am a nerd. He's saying he's a nerd, not me. And I enjoy banter. So the content of this podcast is quite appealing to me. If you are not a nerd, or if you don't enjoy banter, then this may not be for you, and you should look for a non-nerdy, non-bantering, boring podcast. Stay far, far away from this podcast if you don't enjoy puns. You have been warned!
That nerd is the most socially responsible and yet passively aggressive person that I may have ever been complimented by.
Yeah.
Thank you.
10 out of 10 for the Star Wars allusions there in his review. That was pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Well done.
Many, many pandas to A Crummy Commercial question mark for your review.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Question Mark, sir.
I think we've got time for one more.
One more. Okay. Let's do the number 6. All.the.pandas. He's trying to make a point there. This is from KLB 1620, which...
That sounds like a radio station.
Yeah, KLB 1620 leaves a review.
In Cincinnati.
Boom. Here's what he says, or he or she, I shouldn't assign a gender.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can't get enough of these brothers. I was turned on to the first episode. Uh-oh. And haven't stopped yet. They are cleverly funny, fair in their rating, and endlessly entertaining. Keep up the good work, guys. I look forward to the holiday season releases. Yes. So that was pretty good.
Oh, endlessly entertaining.
Endlessly.
That sounds a bit like we're trapped in some sort of time loop.
Yes. Just can't get enough of this entertainment.
Oh, no.
Doesn't stop.
I'm your biggest fan.
Are they going to misery you? Uh-oh.
Well, on that note, let's move on to our movie that we're reviewing today, which is Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah.
It is odd.
Yeah, it's quite off.
Odd. I don't know if people would have gone to that.
I mean, dentist. Oh, he went the other way.
Dentist Strange.
That's not a dentist you want to go to. Believe me.
The podiatrist supreme.
The podiatrist meat lovers? Maybe? I don't
know. For pizza that smells like feet.
Yeah, that sounds
delicious. We'll do some non-spoiler talk. The thing about Doctor Strange as we get into our discussion here, on the one hand, it was a movie that was unlike anything we'd ever seen. On the other hand, it reminded me of a lot of other movies and even some animes, and it made me want to start by asking, how would you describe this movie to someone who hasn't seen it yet?
Ooh, I'm raising my hand. Ooh. Mr. Cotter.
Secret Alias Man.
If young Dumbledore went into the Matrix, and if the Matrix was drawn by M.C. Escher, and if his adventure was filmed by Christopher Nolan, that's what this would be.
Nice. Garrick, how would you describe it to someone who hasn't seen it?
I would describe it as if Sherlock Holmes was doing an investigation undercover in an opium den and was solving the case of who stole the watch from the White Rabbit in Alice in Wonderland, and then found out it was like Voldemort or something? Then that's what it'd be like.
Nice. So the only thing I could think of was it's Harry Potter meets Kung Fu Panda meets Green Lantern.
I see that. It's Kung Fu in it.
Yeah, it does kind of have some kung fu.
A bit.
And the place with all the relics at the, you know, in the temple.
Yeah.
So, I wanted him to find the vase of 1,000 souls in it. So let's start with strengths and weaknesses. Who's got a strength for this movie? Were there any? Was it any good?
I would say the visuals were a strength. They're just off the wall, bonkers. I've never quite seen a movie like this since the first Star Trek movie, where Spock is flying endlessly through some sort of drug-induced hallucination for 20 minutes. But yeah, I mean, the visuals I thought were pretty spectacular for a superhero-ish movie.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing visually. People said it was better than Inception in the visuals, and I'd have to agree, except for me, the practical effects of the hallway fight still wins in Inception.
Yeah, they did have a similar hallway fight. Yeah, Inception, I think, did it a little bit better. You're right. I agree.
But it's the best tumbles down a Buck Rogers special effect that we've yet had.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't even think there's a second place to it at this point. Except maybe that weird long part of 2001 Space Odyssey.
Ah, good call.
Oh, yeah. That was weird. He turned into a baby.
Yes. And an old man.
Wait, that was Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Come on, stay with us.
Weakness.
Garrett keeps talking about the wrong movies.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, weakness in the... Okay, I thought you meant about the show.
I see what you did there.
No, we don't really go on endlessly. We can't do that. Weakness of the movie.
I don't really have a weakness. I know some people complained about the whitewashing, which I don't know if I agree with.
Right, where they were like, you have to whitewash this fence 1,000 times. It was very... Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer.
Well, yeah. If you're going to beat Johnny in the karate tournament, yes. But just in general, because the original source material was written in the 70s and most of the characters are offensively racist.
They've all got like Fu Manchu look to them.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was the same problem that Iron Man 3 had with the Mandarin. You can't go with what is there. You have to do something else. And I thought this director did a valiant job of having some diversity, and yet he was still busted for it. So it's a shame, because it was still an excellent story, and I thought Tilda Swinton did a fantastic job as the Ancient One.
She can do a fantastic job as anything. Wasn't she the Borg Queen?
No.
She wasn't the Borg Queen.
Oh, was she?
In Star Trek First Contact?
That was Alice Creech.
I meant White Queen. Wasn't she the White Queen?
Yeah, she was the White Queen in,
in Lord of the Rings. In,
Lion, the Witch, no. And the Wardrobe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She can play anything.
Yeah. She's probably in that too somewhere. It's probably in Nazgul.
So, strengths. Who else stood out to you in their acting in this movie?
Oh, well, clearly Engelbert Cabbage Patch did a fantastic job. No?
Oh, yeah.
Engelbert Humperdinck?
Bend a big cummerbund.
Slapty back fishty buns.
Bend a big cummerbund.
He was amazing. I was worried that I would see too much Sherlock in his role, but I thought it was great.
Yeah. He did a good job with his American accent.
Yeah. I loved his little bits of tiny banter that he didn't overdo. Whereas Tony Stark sort of made a big flourish about his banter. Strange just sort of slips his in sort of surgically. So when he's talking to Mads Mikkelsen, he sees him for the first time, and of course Mads, like, his eyes have gotten all burnt out because he's got the dark power in him, and he's got, you know, Mads monologuing.
Yeah.
Of course.
And Mads is explaining how, no, we're not the bad guys, we're the good guys, and here's the entire convoluted reason why we're the good guys. And Benedict just waits for him to finish, and he goes, no, look at your face. And I love that, because it's just that obvious statement that you always feel when a villain is talking to you, like Jafar convincing you, no, I'm on your side. I'm your advisor. Everything I'm telling you is for your good, not my own. And you're like, look at you.
You have a snake for a staff.
You have a pointy beard that comes down to your chest.
You have a foul-mouthed parrot on your shoulder.
Your cloak is two steps advance of your feet. You're evil.
Well, so I guess speaking of weaknesses, I felt like the villain was a little plain vanilla. A plain vanilla? A plain vanillin?
Plain vanilla?
He was a Milli Vanillin.
Yeah. He was a copy. I mean, I guess it's hard to establish a good villain to carry throughout a series like this, and so you have to have some one-offs, but to me they're getting a little old, and I was hoping for something a bit more compelling.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. He did just sort of seem like token obstacle.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times where I thought, you stride into a room really well, but you didn't necessarily have the plan thought out before you went into the room. For example, if your goal is to steal a spell from a book, and you get there and you rip one page out of the book and then you leave the rest of the book, why not just, you know, take the book?
Maybe they can only transport so much matter with them.
Oh, no. I don't think that was his problem.
I don't know. No.
I think the cover of the books have tracking devices.
Oh.
That's why they got those glowing orbs on them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a point, you know, where he reveals what his big goal is, but he kind of undermines that in the first confrontation he has at the beginning of the movie by, you know, doing what he did to the librarian. And we could talk about it more in the spoiler part, but I just kind of like, that kind of undermines what your whole motivation behind all your evilness was. I don't know.
Yeah.
He
definitely had some inconsistencies.
I will say a strength is that Marvel has truly polished the origin story movie.
Oh, yeah, they nailed it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they know exactly how to do this now. And, you know, everything you needed to know about his former self was established. Everything you needed to know about what made him want to become a different person was established. And thank God we finally, again, have another example of... And so later, when he acts heroically, it's not just out of nothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, his character arc makes sense.
Totally.
Well, I've got one more strength I thought of. Without spoiling it, I'd just say that I found the climactic battle at the end to be really clever and refreshing, as opposed to just going, bigger magic, more explosions. I found myself just smiling ear to ear, like, this is just so clever. Yeah. This is so creative. I've never seen this before.
Yeah. Very unique take on a villain fight. Not what I was expecting at all.
So how would you rate this then in your panda rating scale, gentlemen?
I would, again, and like with previous movies, I struggle with bonus points because if what we rate something on is what were they going for and did they achieve it, it is possible for you to go for something and then go beyond what you shot for with your achievement. And with the special effects here, I think they went beyond what they were going for. And I think with the tightness of the script and the character, it even went beyond. I know a lot of people compare this to Iron Man 1, but I think this was tighter. So the things that I might say were detriments, like the one-note villain, I feel are sort of offset by the things that they excelled at. So I'm still going to give this a four panda.
Mm.
Four panda rating.
Yep.
Nice.
Four smiling pandas.
9 out of 10 on a 10 panda scale. From sad, 5 sad to 5 happy. Sweet. Garrick?
Well, I think it did well at taking a character that nobody really knew about and actually making him interesting. I mean, mainstream people didn't know who Doctor Strange was or what he's up to. I don't even think he's had too many main comic series with just him in it. So I think doing that and making it enjoyable and making it a character that I'm really looking forward to see more of, I think I'd give it four pandas, smiling pandas out of five, right? Out of five.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Four happy pandas out of five.
Yay.
Yes.
Man, why do I always have to be the tiny party pooper?
Oh, here we go. Lay it on us.
So I honestly felt the comedy was a little hit and miss sometimes, and I felt like it got a little exposition heavy. And so those two things, along with the other stuff we mentioned, I couldn't give it four smiling pandas, but I do give it three because it was still really, really good. But I would rank it under Civil War, which I gave four. So three smiling pandas for me.
Okay. Oh, Here's the point where I argue with my brother. Think about...
We really need theme music for this. He's arguing over one panda every time, too.
I am.
It's not like I said it was two sad pandas, and there's this giant rift between us.
But think about what they had to do to convince the viewer to go along with this. All of the crazy mystical stuff, all of the weird names, all of the, this is not your typical Marvel superhero, and they still manage to ground it.
Mm-hmm.
So you give them nothing for that.
Ooh.
Nope.
You get nothing. Good day, sir.
I mean, thinking about what they have to accomplish is the bonus points. And for me, I'm looking at it just as a movie, strengths and weaknesses.
But don't you want to fit in with everybody else?
It's not as interesting of a podcast if I do.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10 instead of a 9 out of 10. Why does this keep happening?
You just hate movies, I guess.
Why can't I just have more moderation in my life? Why do I have to heap praise on everything?
I have this image of you sitting in the theater with five pandas, and they all just have these stubborn faces.
All right, so moving on to spoiler talk.
Spoilers!
How does time work again?
That's a good question.
That was my question.
Yes, it was. Would you care to answer it for us? Maybe you can help us out here.
No, so my question, first of all, is, okay, so I can wave my hand in the air and I can make time change.
With magic.
But except for me or anything that I don't want time changed for, right? So it only changes for the apple, but nothing else in the room or in the world or in the universe.
Yeah, that's how it seemed to be the first time.
Okay.
Yeah, like it was a little bubble of time.
So during a big major battle, I can say you get to be changed by time, but you don't. And then this guy behind me, yes, but that building, no. And that box in midair, no. But you get to go in a building and stay there in the bricks. So that's a pretty tightly controlled way to handle time bubbles. I guess they're bubbles, right?
I don't know.
So
like,
The time that I... Are we in spoilers? We're in spoilers. The
yes,
time that
spoil
I really...
away.
The time that I noticed time was... So he's doing the thing to the page to make it go back in time and appear. But apparently, it doesn't also move in time and space. The apple I got because it maybe just sat there the whole time, except it didn't because later on he picked it up and moved it. But the book was not sitting there when the page was ripped out of it. Mads Mikkelsen was holding it in his hand and he was walking around and he ripped it and just sort of like tossed it. So not only can he control time, but he can actually make objects be where they weren't at that time.
Wow.
So... how does time work? I should ask Hermione.
Yeah, I see. You got a time tuner?
And when he restored the pages, did they then disappear from the other guy's possession? Or was he just looking back through a window of time to see when they did exist?
Oh, you just made me think that's really gross then with what happened with the apple.
I hate the apple. Now it's out of my stomach. Now
I'm
it's
hungry.
Back in my stomach.
Oh, I'm full. Now I'm hungry again.
Wait, who ate it the time that he made it disappear? Someone had to have eaten it, right? It wasn't just rotting. Bites were disappearing from it.
Maybe he was eating it. What if he didn't eat it? Would it rip a hole in space-time? Oh, never ate it.
I think he was just caught eating it forever.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and then depending what happened with that apple later, if it didn't just sit there and continue to rot with all those bites taken out of it, if it actually got moved or thrown away or something else happened to it, then he was scrolling forward into a potential future, not the only future.
So I don't know. Maybe it's just a different dimensional apple. And somewhere in a different dimension, somebody is really pissed off because their apple just disappeared, or parts of it.
But see, that's one of the things that bothered me about the movie, was that the magic, the way it works, isn't really well explained.
That's why it's magic, man.
No, but at one point, Doctor Strange tells the Ancient One that Caecilius can manipulate matter, as if that's something that you can't normally do with your other powers, because that's why the other guy couldn't actually heal himself. He could just use magic to walk again. And that's why Doctor Strange can't actually heal his hands. He can just use magic to use his hands again. So you can't actually manipulate matters. You can't actually heal yourself. But it was like that rule came out of nowhere.
Hmm.
And I was just wanting there to be a lot more spells used. Like, the fight was so unimaginative to me. here, I'll make my whip and you make your dagger, and then I'll make another whip and you make another dagger, and let's just keep doing the same spells over and over. It felt like when Harry and Drago fought the wizarding duel in the second movie, they used more spells than these guys. And they were in their second year at Hogwarts.
Yeah, nobody made a snake come out.
Well, I mean, he was somewhat early on in his training, right?
Yeah, but the other guy wasn't.
That's true.
And Dr. Strange had been studying for months, so you'd think he could know more spells by then.
I did like, though, the way that the Ancient One explained if the term magic offends you or spells offends you, think of it as code.
Yeah, that was cool.
And that was neat, because if you break the universe down into its most basic level and you manipulate that was something that his medical and science brain could get behind.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then also keep in mind that the eye of Amaretto that he was wearing. Oregano?
Very flavored.
Jared Leto?
The eye of Arigato.
Domo.
The eye of Acapulco was an infinity stone.
Yes.
Yes.
So yes. We now know where five of the six of them are. But because he had that infinity stone, then that allowed him to do, you know, kind of elevated things. But the space one was the Tesseract. And that's the one that transports you to places, which is why Loki could just show up. And so Asgard has that one.
Yes.
The reality one was the red swirly ether, which...
Yeah.
At the end, they gave to the collector, but then his house exploded. So I think Howard the Duck sold that for booze. So that could be anywhere.
Yeah.
The power one, the orb, was, I believe, won in a dance-off.
Yes, that's right.
And so that now rests in its proper place with Novacore.
Mm-hmm.
The mind stone is on somebody's head.
Yeah, it's a tiara.
A laser tiara.
So Vision has that one. The Soul Stone is the only one left. And so we'll find out what's going to come up with that. But that one can trap souls inside of another world.
Oh.
So maybe Katana has that. Wrong franchise?
No, because that would make her better. And therefore DC would refuse.
Oh.
All right. So we're still looking for that one.
We're still looking for that.
Yeah.
But I really did like the way that they handled Doctor Strange as a person who started out as arrogant and as much of a jerk as he was. He did still have some things that were consistent throughout. And one of them was his oath to first do no harm. His medical oath he really did care about.
Yeah, that was super cool.
That was great.
That is the thing that says, okay, he at least has that core element of a hero that I don't want to kill. The same thing Matt Murdock has. And when he had to kill someone, he hated it. And he quoted his oath. And that's what makes him the man who will always look for another way besides killing.
Maybe he wouldn't have minded so much if he'd used a car tethered to another car.
Yeah.
It's all about how you do it, man.
So I think the formula that Marvel really has kind of perfected is a man who deep down will always look for another way plus clever equals hero.
That's a good equation.
So it's Iron Man, but better. although Doctor Strange is the story of an arrogant, goatee-wearing rich guy who has a fast car and expensive clothes, a hot girl who takes care of him, jealous professional rivals, witty one-liners, a terrible accident where he's maimed by metal, a glowy thing on his chest who sacrifices himself through a portal into another dimension, and whose last name may or may not begin with S-T.
But besides that, they have nothing in common.
Yeah, they're totally different and stuff. Yeah.
So, does anyone else have any other points? Because I still have some.
Yeah, I think from there we can talk about, there were a lot of moral lessons echoed throughout the movie. For example, fear of failure is what holds you back. Pride is what holds you back. Death adds value to life because it challenges us to think of what we're going to do with the moments we have.
Mm-hmm.
The whole question of, does the ends justify the means? Embracing something that's not about you, but it makes you a part of something bigger. We don't defeat our demons. We learn to live with them. There's so many good moral lessons in there. I was curious which ones hit home for you.
I think what she said on that last one was we learn to live above them. And that was the one that struck me, because there are other stories and other heroes where you have to conquer your demons. And so it seems as if unless you completely conquer them, you haven't really finished and you haven't really won. But this was a different approach where you don't have to completely conquer your demon as long as you can say, yes, I still have that part of me, but I don't succumb to it. And I think that is more relatable.
Yeah.
So that was my favorite. That gives, I think, just that extra little bit of achievability.
Right. Yeah, it's super realistic, right? It's like Alcoholics Anonymous. You're always recovering, never recovered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And even if you think about Luke Skywalker, I mean, he will always have the blood of Anakin in him.
Stinks to be you.
Yeah. The midichlorian, is that what it is?
How about for you, Garrick?
I think the biggest lesson that really was impactful to me is the Cassilius. He wanted to overcome death to live forever. And kind of like what you were saying, you know, the fact that death exists is the reason why life is that much more valuable, because, you know, if you don't have death, what would be the point of living your life now? I mean, that really was pretty cool. And also don't mess with time travel, because it's bad. That was also a good lesson.
we've discussed that one plenty on this podcast.
Yeah, it's bad. Don't do it. You get a time travel machine, just put it on a train track and let a train hit it.
What I did like about what Garrick said is when you see the Ancient One in her last moments of life, you know, she said, I thought I would be ready for this, but then here I am drawing out one final moment so I can watch the snowflakes.
Yeah, that was so sweet.
That to me showed that of the two choices, eternal life in a terrible environment is not worth one moment of actual life watching snowflakes. And so how you spend your moments of actual life, even if death is part of that equation, is still more beautiful and, depending on your perspective, more desirable. Mm-hmm. So of the two quests, either eternal life at any cost or to appreciate the beauty and temporal nature of actual life, I thought that was a really nice message to get across.
Yeah. Yeah. And that really brings us back to like trying to figure out what exactly Cassilius's goals were.
Yeah. To me, it kind of seemed like his goals were kind of noble. Like he wanted everyone to have eternal life and live forever and be, you know, not fear death and all that. But there's all was coming at a price that we learn later, because he was drawing his energy from this entity that wanted to destroy all life and kind of giving him a false promise. So it's kind of interesting to see the different sides of the coin of what people value the most, either eternal life or, you know, living life as it is now with the fear of knowing that death is right around the corner at any moment. Yeah, watch out. It's right there.
Oh. It's coming straight for us.
No, that was just the black cat. Sorry.
Our pod cat.
Yeah, how did you make sense of the villain?
I was vague on what he wanted. I don't think I ever fully understood. It seemed like he kept talking about eternal life, but it never seemed like he knew what that meant. And especially at the end when Strain sends him there and he goes, "You're not going to like it." So
yeah.
I thought, well, wouldn't you have investigated that as, I mean, if that's your main goal, if you're thinking, I always want to retire to New Jersey and it's going to be wonderful, you know, have you looked?
Didn't you at least look in the mirror and see what your eyes look like?
Yeah.
You're willing to kill all these people for a bright future in New Jersey. Have you scouted the real estate sites? Do you even know where you're going?
Yeah.
So the villain of the next film, obviously, Mordo, should be, I think, more solid in his motivations.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, right. Yeah, let's talk post-credits. So the second post-credit scene is Mordo coming up to the guy who learned to use magic to overcome having, like, a spinal injury and basically sucking his magic out of him.
I guess.
Which was a useful spell that, you know, Doctor Strange could have learned at some point. I'm just saying.
Yeah, where was that, Mordo? Come on.
Where is that during the fight with Cassilius?
It would have been a lot easier to end the movie right there.
I think Cassilius knew how to protego, shield himself from that.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing of, okay, so you have all these abilities, but you forget how to use them in a fight. Because again, if you can open a portal to somewhere, then why not open it sort of in the middle of somebody's body and then kind of shut it real quick?
Yeah, or into space. Just there's a vacuum automatically created. Just open up space behind them.
Right.
Suck them out.
Right.
Shut it.
So this is my transporter argument of...
Oh, right, right.
You can take somebody apart at the atomic level. Who says you have to put them back together?
That's true, yeah.
They should include that in the training montage.
Speaking of training montage, you know, this whole Disney-Marvel marriage has given us some cool music crossovers and other Easter eggs. So with Age of Ultron, we had the Pinocchio theme.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So I was really hoping during Doctor Strange's training montage, they would have played the song from Toy Story where Woody's world is changing around him. Strange things are happening. Strange things.
They really missed an opportunity there. It's been a great crossover.
Caecilius, you're not the favorite anymore. It's Doctor Strange now. The Ancient One has his poster on her wall.
Yeah.
So back to Mordo.
So back to Mordo. So when you first meet him, he's the loyal student who clearly is heir apparent to one day, you know, be even greater. And he talks about how he was once this person who had these demons, and then because of these teachings, he rose above them. And so it seems, though, like he put all of his faith in his teacher, and he was continually telling Strange, trust your teacher, trust your teacher. So when his teacher revealed herself to be flawed, it seemed like that pulled the entire rug out from under everything that he believed, because he put all of that in his faith in his teacher. And so when that was gone, he basically reverted to the person that he was before, only now with all of the benefit of the sorcery skills, and he's lost faith in the entire system. And so in the post-credit scene where he says the line, I finally know what's wrong, too many sorcerers, it seems like his mission now is to kill all the Jedi.
Yeah, he's turned evil. He's gone to the dark side.
Yeah.
Makes for a good tale.
It's such a cool contrast to him with Doctor Strange, because Doctor Strange would question the teacher and basically in the end only trusted himself.
Right, which...
And that was seen as a weakness, but it ended up being a strength.
Which was what I loved about his response during Mordo's sort of emotional breakdown. Strange just says, well, yes, she was complicated. But I thought that was very ironic for Mordo to have that crumbling, because if during their training and their perception of the universe with all of these dimensions and the multiverses, they should be used to having a spectrum of good and evil. There are not just two types of universes in the multiverse. There's not one side that's completely good and another side that's completely evil. There are multiverses that span that distance. So there are shades of gray. So why Mordo would be so shocked that his teacher somewhat delved into a shade of gray to accomplish a good end seemed a little odd to me, if he had accepted the fact that the universe is already that way.
Maybe it depends on how many shades of gray there are.
Yeah, maybe not many.
Possibly.
Maybe a round number.
I think the Ancient One, she commented on Mordo, he was black and white. He was steadfast, and she said that will help Doctor Strange in the end, because Doctor Strange is more or less a loose cannon. So I think that was just his personality, just to see the world in black and white regardless. And I think the shades of gray, he just found a way to fit into column A or column B. And, you know, this whole thing with the Ancient One drawing on Dormammu's power to live forever kind of fell in column B. And I guess that maybe sent him over the edge. It's his personality.
Yeah. Which again, is a credit to the writing that they set him up that way. Where they out and out said he's a person who only sees black and white. He's basically a Rorschach.
Yeah, from Watchmen.
From the Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite right. all of the evidence and all of the reason and all of the logic why you should let this situation go, Rorschach said no, because he was that black or white.
Hmm. Absolutely.
What do you think of the other post-credit scene?
That was pretty... Yeah, that was great.
With Thor just drinking tons of beer.
That was so well done. He's drinking tea. It turns into a beer, cuts away, and then the beer's like gone. He drank it within a matter of seconds, I guess.
Now, Secret Alias Man, you like researching. Do you know if that's actually like a clip from Thor Ragnarok or how that fits in? Because it seems like it's supposed to connect to that.
It connects to it. That may not be a clip from the movie, but mm-hmm. Strange now is the guardian of the New York Sancto Sanctorum.
Yeah, I love how his authority when he talks to Thor.
Right. And so he now cares if New York gets destroyed because, you know, it happens. Which also makes me wonder, where were the dimension guardians of the New York Sancto Sanctorum in the previous Marvel films?
Yeah, what were
this
they
is,
up to?
This is a physical fight.
Yeah, we're out.
Maybe they had their own battle going on.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know.
They're like, oh, they're using lasers. We're out.
Maybe they were fighting Parallax Galacticus.
Oh, wait a minute.
You know, we're guardians of attacks from other dimensions. Oh, look, there's an attack from another dimension. Yeah, but that's not exactly like our neighborhood, really.
Did anyone think Men in Black when they first explained what they do?
Kind of.
Yeah, a little bit.
And there's a big green monster sort of destroying Harlem, but that is kind of down the street a little ways, so we'll let
He's
that.
He's probably on our side, maybe.
It'll be fine. More tea?
Mike, thank you, old chap. It's a good thing we put a protective shield around our... Maybe that's the... Okay, they were busy protecting their shield because they didn't want it to fall during that attack.
Maybe.
Solved. Yes.
You nailed it.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Well, that's why I think Stephen Strange is slightly the better person to be the Sorcerer Supreme, because
he's more proactive.
He's a little more encompassing about what happens to New York and the general world than I think the Ancient One was. So when Thor sort of comes upon his radar, being an Asgardian and being, you know, at least now that Odin is gone, the king of nine realms, this does sort of fall into Strange's purview. And if he's chasing down Loki, he knows that usually ends in half the city being gone. Mm-hmm. And so perhaps we can sit down over tea and discuss this like gentlemen. And that's why this leads into Ragnarok. My guess is Thor, for whatever reason, can't open the dimensional portal to get to Asgard. And so he comes to Strange to open a portal for him.
Mm,
yeah,
that makes sense.
That's great.
So the ending, the cleverness, the uniqueness of the final showdown, the boss battle, went beyond, I've done a training montage and I have these skills and therefore I have the skills to beat you. And this is where that cleverness comes in of there has to be another way for Strange to trap the villain in a time loop and just make him relive a moment over and over and over until he yields, I thought was brilliant.
Yeah.
That was great.
And I'm convinced that the writer came up with this idea while their child was with them in a toy store and was saying, Dad, 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 can I have this? Dad, 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 hey, Dad, Dad, I want this. Dad, Dad, hey, Dad, Dad, Dad.
I'm starting to feel that way right now.
And he went, I've got the end of this movie.
Yeah, nailed it.
Nice.
But the fact that Strange did that, when you look at it, in the traditional narrative of a character arc, for a person to finalize his journey of becoming a hero, it usually means that there's a definite point where his actions signify the death of his former person.
Yes.
The death of the former person that he was.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, Strange had the death of who he was a lot.
Yes.
Many times over. Yeah.
And I really do give it to them for a unique ending. It was more than just Iron Man saying, I'll take the missile up into the portal and I'll learn to be selfless. This was actually, no, there's a better way besides battling in the streets, which is something, honestly, that Superman should have learned.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have tried to bargain.
Yeah. I think they should have given Superman a mirror dimension so he could, you know, practice.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe his...
That would have helped him a lot.
His Kryptonian ship should have had a training montage danger room instead of a monster-making bathtub. I mean, of the things to make.
What's up with that?
So you guys ready to play better or worse?
Go for it.
Let's do it.
right. So, better or worse than Doctor Strange? So, first of all, Stanley Kubrick's classic, Doctor Strangelove. The satire on the Cold War.
For
99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
For what Doctor Strangelove was, it was brilliant. But watchability, if it came on, I might scroll past it. If this came on, I would stop and watch it.
Okay.
So for watchability, I'm going to give it to Doctor Strange.
Garrick?
Yeah, that's a good argument there. I would also say Doctor Strange is better because Doctor Strangelove I only seen once and I wasn't too entertained by it, I guess. I don't know. So yeah, Doctor Strange for me.
Yeah, I end up feeling that way about a lot of Kubrick movies.
Yeah, it's kind of weird sometimes.
Although Doctor Strangelove did have the greatest line, I think, in any of that type of movie, which was, "Gentlemen, gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room."
So good. All right, next. Better or worse than Doctor Strange? Doctor Doolittle.
The yeah, classic, which one? Or the Eddie Murphy?
the classic musical version.
The Rex Harrison.
Yes.
So I have a special place in my heart for the classic Rex Harrison because when we were kids, I think even before David was born, we would go on family trips, which would mean it would be just me in the back seat. And my mother had a particular fondness for this musical and she had it on 8-track. And
woohoo!
It would be in the car from roughly Georgia to Louisiana.
Wow.
I thought you said you hated most musicals, so this... She must have brainwashed you with this one. It's like you either needed to love it or die.
I'm going to say Doctor Strange.
Whoa, that was... I thought you were going to say Doolittle for a second there. Garrick?
Doctor Doolittle, again, I'm also not a huge fan of many musicals. So I'll also go with Doctor Strange.
Yes, even with animals or especially with animals?
Oh, man, see, the animals... That is a tip... That would be a tipping point, but the musical... aspect kind of drags it down a little bit.
All right. Better or worse than Doctor Strange? Dr. Pepper.
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, Doctor Strange didn't make me burp.
It doesn't keep you awake, though, when you need to study.
That's true.
I'm not the most impartial of mediators at this point. I love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to go Dr. Pepper on this one. I could go for one right now.
All right, better or worse than Doctor Strange? Perfect Strangers.
Oh.
It's my life, my dream. Nothing's going to stop me now. Come on, Balky Baltacamus, Cousin Larry. So I'll take it from your silence that it's a definite resounding no. It's worse than Doctor Strange?
Yeah, Perfect Strangers. Doctor Strange is better. It's perfect. Well, Perfect Strangers had the happy dance, so that had that going for it, I guess.
The dance of joy.
The joints of joy. That's what it was. Yeah. Still Doctor Strange for me, though.
Secret Aliens Man?
Oh, Doctor Strange for me.
All right. And lastly, and this one is, I think, going to be more challenging for you, Stranger Things.
Ooh.
Better or worse than Doctor Strange, the Netflix series, which we will be talking about next week.
That's a tough one.
I'm going to say Stranger Things is better.
For reasons we'll find out next week.
Yes. That is so tough. Because both of them are really good. But I think Stranger Things might edge it out a little bit because of how well it was executed. And just the different characters, and all of them were enjoyable. So I'm going to go with Stranger Things.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with an 8-episode season that can do so much more.
I think Stranger Things had me because of how gripping it was, whereas Doctor Strange was completely enjoyable, and I rooted for the hero, but knowing he would ultimately be victorious. With Stranger Things, you had that anxiety, and therefore I think it had me more involved in it, and because I like that sort of a thing, I'm going to go with Stranger Things.
Agreed. And so, people, if you haven't watched it yet, now's your chance to watch it over the next week before we review Stranger Things. So I think that brings us to the end of our episode. Do we have a battle cry for this episode, Secret Alias Man?
I do. My battle cry is, I've come to bargain.
That's a good one. It's a good battle cry.
I've come to bargain. I've come to bargain. come toboggan.
Now I want to think about when I can use that in real life besides the flea market.
That's a good question.
Nepal.
There you go.
So thanks all your listeners. Thanks for those of us who have been writing reviews. Keep writing them, and we'll keep getting Garrick to read them.
Yes. I'll be happy to read all your reviews. Unless you don't like that, then I won't. Either way.
And where else can we find you, Garrick?
You can find me at on the Fly Casual podcast. It's a Star Wars podcast. Just go out to iTunes and all the, what is it, Stitcher, and our website, betterkind.com/flycasual. I'm out on Twitter. I gave that away earlier, and wherever else movies are sold, you can find me there.
And I haven't listened to it yet, but I saw in the show notes that one of my parody songs made it onto your show.
Yeah, we had a slight issue with the upload, so it should be back up here shortly.
Oh, great.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Any final thoughts, Secret Alias Man?
This is definitely going to be my Halloween costume for next year. I need those sparkler things like you get on the 4th of July, and I think I'm just going to
make circles.
I'll just stick them in my wrist like... Stick them in my wrist like Wolverine and just wave them around. It'd be awesome.
That'd be perfect.
I bet you can already buy those rings for teleporting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have to check that out.
And I'll have the brass knuckles of Armageddon. That's right.
I'd wear those.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Yeah, just in my spotlight, man.
It's amazing he can type all those great reviews with the boxing gloves on.
I didn't say it was total crap. So that was something.
This podcast is total crap.
Total crap.
I give it the double deuce.
Still an excellent story, and I thought Tilda Swinton did a fantastic job as the Ancient One.
She can do a fantastic job as anything. Wasn't she the Borg Queen?
No.
She wasn't the Borg Queen.
Oh, was she?
In Star Trek First Contact? No, not First Contact. Yeah, First Contact.
That was Alice Krijsh?
I guess you would know.
Yeah.
Alice Krijsh, it's a Borg!
Oh my gosh. I have to look this up now for myself. Okay. I believe you, but...
Trust but verify.
Yes.
I understand, yes.
Yeah, you are right.
Sweet.
Well played.
Haha.
You win nothing because this is getting deleted. Congratulations.
Yay.
I meant White Queen. Wasn't she the White Queen?
Yeah, she was the White Queen in